Listen to these words that come from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in numbers. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteous Savior. In Jeremiah's day, much was going on and much was happening. Exile had begun. Things had been divided in the kingdom. People were not walking the way that they needed to, and nobody seemed to be helping. And God basically said, and as God says in Psalm 95 about the people that walked in the wilderness, God says, and I read this from this psalm every morning as part of my time with God. God says, I've dealt with them for 40 years and they haven't listened to me. And so I've decided they will not be part of the kingdom. What an incredible judgment. And now the same thing is happening in Jeremiah's day. The people are scattered. They're all over the place. They're not gathered together, and they're not being part of what's going on. And one of the things that this passage really helps us to see is that the religious and royal leaders failed to lead the people in God's ways. They failed. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. They failed the people. They weren't pointing them towards God. They weren't helping them to come together. In one way, both the royals and the religious establishment were looking at, what can I get? What's in this for me? They must have been American. What do you think? Because I hear a lot of Americans say that. What's in this for me? What do we get out of it? That's what the religious people were doing. That's what the royal leaders were doing. They failed God's people. They took advantage of the sheep. They took advantage of the flocks that they were supposed to manage and watch over. God scattered Israel because of their poor leadership. Some went off into exile. Some were still in the land. Some went down to Egypt to try to escape what was going on. They were pushed all over the place. They were scattered because they didn't have people that were helping them look to God and what God wanted for them. They were looking for what they could get out of it. how they could set up an institution, how they could set up an establishment that would feed those at the top by those at the bottom doing that. Not how do we help people? How do we guide them? How do we lead them? The little that I know about sheep. And by the way, Eric, I have some more pictures for you too. Eric asked me to take pictures when we went to England of sheep, and I sent him one this week that I think he enjoyed. At least that was the indication I got. We went into Tesco's and found this nice little sheep sitting there on one of the racks, and it said it was 12 pounds. I don't know if sheep cost that much here or not. That would be about $17. And Eric sent back to me, he says, I don't know what they feed them over there, but that one looks a little stuffed. The little that I know about sheep, they need a shepherd. They need someone to guide them. They need someone to bring them together. And you see, the religious leaders and the royal leaders were not doing that. They were taking advantage of them. They were eating off of them, so to say. They were using them up. So God scattered them because they were not doing what needed to be done. And when I think about this situation, I realize the same situation exists today with churches being scattered. We had a conversation at the deacons' meeting this past week. What do we do about all these people who are members, but they never show up? They've been scattered. And every church has that situation. Every church does. Church members are scattered. And church members are all over the place. As I've talked with some, it's, I don't want to be part of an institution. I don't want to be part of where you're asking me to do something all the time. I want to be a part of where I can get fed. I want a part of where I can be loved. Where I can be told that God loves me and that God's willing to help me in spite of who I am. In spite of what I've done in my past. You see, we're in the same situation today. All you need to do is, I'll let you go right now, drive by houses and see how many people are still home during this time. You probably passed by some houses that all the cars were still there. With no intent on going to church at all. With no intent on being part of a flock because they don't see a need for it. They don't see a reason to be part of it. Because some people say, well, all the church wants is this. Or all the church wants is this. The church is just trying to get something out of me. They're not helping me to understand how God loves me and how I can grow in a relationship with God. Why does King David say, and he leads me beside still waters? My understanding is that sheep are afraid of moving water. He leads me to green pastures. Showing me a place where I can eat. Showing me a place where I can get the food that I need to grow spiritually. And in Jeremiah's day, that wasn't happening. And in some places in our churches today, that's not happening either. It's not about feeding. It's about using people. Who can I put into service? Now, don't get me wrong. We need all of those things. I've told you before, I grew up as a beach bum, not a farm boy. Tried to understand things on the farm since my last church was in a rural area, and since there's still some farmers here too. One of the things I learned in the previous area is that you had to go out and feed up. As a beach bum, I didn't know how to say that. I didn't know what feeding up was. Does that mean you called me to dinner? No, it means I'm calling the animals to dinner and I'm taking some food out to them. I'm feeding them up. Sometimes you can get them to follow you because they know they're going to get fed. I've watched trucks drive out into the pasture and all the animals gather around the truck because he's here to feed us. And after they get used to that, you can even use an empty bucket to get them to come. For a couple of times. And then they realize all you got's an empty bucket. And I'm not going. You're not going to fool me again. In some of our churches, all they have are empty buckets. They don't have anything to feed people. And people are coming and they're hungry. And they want something. And they want to grow closer to God. And they want to know more about this God that loves us so much. And sometimes we've got nothing to feed them. This is what was happening in Jeremiah's day. And things were scattered because of it. Because there weren't leaders that were helping to feed up. There weren't leaders that were helping the sheep to understand this is a safe place, this is not. But there's one great thing about this passage. One incredibly great thing. God says, I will gather the flock together again. That's the first great thing that happens in this passage. God promised to gather the people again and lead them with a powerful shepherd. God promised. And I believe that God will fulfill that promise. I'll go a step further. I know that God has already fulfilled that promise. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, there's no question about you'll be fed up. Well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound good, does it? You're going to be fed more than you can eat. Now the question is, are you eating what you're being fed? Or are you just letting it fall by the wayside? The shepherd is here. The shepherd is willing. God says, I promise. I want you to notice, this is not one of those conditional promises. There are many conditional promises in the Bible. Many. And I know a lot of people hold on to them and say, oh, God promised. But oftentimes God says, if you will do this, I will do this. That's a conditional promise. You have to do what God asks for the promise to be fulfilled. But God says, in this case, I will draw the people together. I will gather them together. I will put over them a good shepherd. You want to read about the good shepherd? Spend some time looking at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Jesus talks all about being the good shepherd. You see, our shepherd, Jesus Christ, is prepared to guide us in gathering the community. He's prepared to feed us. He's prepared to walk with us. Gosh, the image that Jesus shares sometimes, this really gets me. The shepherd has 100 sheep. And one of them walks off and gets lost. What does the shepherd do? What does the shepherd do? Goes and looks for that one sheep. What about the other 99? The good shepherd just walked away from them to get that one sheep that's in trouble. But the 99 are now by themselves. No, they're not. They have a community. They have a community that can help one another as Jesus goes and gets the one that's lost. What does that mean we need to do as part of a community? We need to open our lives to one another. I need to let you know where I hurt. I need to know you need to know where things are a challenge for me. I really wish going to seminary had solved all those problems. But all seminary did was show me how many more problems I had not doing it right. That's all it showed me. It showed me how many more things I needed to be aware of. How many more things I needed to understand. It gave me the resources for being able to step closer to God. It gave me the ability to do that. You see, the good shepherd's here. And the good shepherd is pulling us together into a community. And I just want to ask you, as the shepherd steps out to go get another one and bring it in, how are we going to help and support one another? How are we going to encourage one another? How are we going to feed up to make sure that everybody's being fed well? How are we going to help one another on this journey? One of the reasons I like some of the Psalms, I think it's from Psalm 121 to 136, I think it is, somewhere in that neighborhood. Those are songs of journey. Those are songs that people sung together as they journeyed on the way. As they formed community and pulled together. Those are songs that they sung together to encourage one another, to support one another, to scare off those who were trying to rob them. I mean, when you hear 20, 30, 40 voices come and there's only two of you to rob people, it scares them off. I think about the song that we sung today. As I've been thinking about this even more and more, Wednesday night, starting in August, I hope you will be here on Wednesday nights. Instead of doing a Bible study like I've done before, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, we're going to look at the book of Psalms. No, I'm not going to do every psalm for the next 150 weeks. Okay, and go into extra time when we get to Psalm 119, by the way, since it has 172 verses. But week by week, what I want to do is I want to show you, how do you pray these psalms? How do you live the psalms? How do you pray them, and how do you turn them into your prayer words? Not how do you mimic them, But how do you take the phrases and the words that are there? And one of the songs that we sung today, even as we practiced it back here, all I can think of, this is a prayer. Let me read it for you. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. You sung it. Can you pray it? Can you pray it? Have thine own way. You are my shepherd. You are the one that's teaching me. One of the things that I'm working on personally myself is I'm trying to figure out how to be better about loving any person I meet just as Jesus would. And yes, that means telemarketers too. Yes, that means the person who cuts me off on the interstate dangerously from the left lane to the exit lane. Saw that happen last week. Just like, ugh. Yes, that's even the person that came to church a couple of weeks ago and blessed me up one side and down the other because I wouldn't help them. How do I love them? As Jesus would. How do I learn from the Good Shepherd? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. How many times has the clay ever told the potter, I want to be made into a cup? Or has the clay said, I want to be a plate? I don't think it happens that way, does it? The potters I've talked with, as they throw the clay and as they mold it and as they make it and as they, it's kind of like this piece of clay was meant to be a cup. This piece of clay was meant to be a plate. What's the Good Shepherd molding you into? How is the Good Shepherd fitting you into a community? How are you letting the love of God live in, but most especially through you? Many of us are descendants of the greatest generation. And one of the things that the greatest generation did and their generation before them is I've got to save everything I can get my hands on. Every nut, bolt, washer, screw, nail, even if the nail's bent, I got to save it because I can straighten that thing out and use it again. If you drive nails like I do, you don't straighten nails and use it again because I can't hit it square the first time. And if I straighten it and hit it again, it's going to bend right where it did bend already. But here's what I want to ask you. Are you letting God use you? Are you letting God use you up? Are you putting into use those things you've saved for the kingdom of God? Is that what you saved them for? Or did you save them for later generations? How can it be used now to help the kingdom of God? Have thine own way, Lord. Mold me and make me after thy will. God's will, not mine. My will was I wanted to be Clint Eastwood. High Plains Drifter. Don't mess with me. That was my will. That was who I was trying to be my first year of college. Flat brim cowboy hat, Well, Clint Eastwood didn't have long, curly, blonde hair, but that's who I was trying to be. Don't mess with me. And I don't want you as a friend. God's will was different. God came to me and said, Tim, I want you to love people. And I want you to love them even if they hate you. And I want you to love them even if they do wrong to you. And I want you to love them even when they respond and then turn away. That wasn't my will. I can honestly tell you in many ways the person that stands before you is not the person that I wanted to be. The person that I wanted to be, you never would have hired as a pastor. Are you living God's will? God says, I'm going to gather them together into a community. Are we supporting one another as a community? Are we looking to what the Good Shepherd's leading us to do in reaching out to people in this community? Are we letting them know this is a place where you can fill your bucket full of food? Do you know how to help people do that? Are you following the Good Shepherd? God promised to call us all together. God said, I will. And I will bring you a good shepherd. So here's what I'm going to ask you. Are we looking only to Jesus Christ to reform and rebuild the church? Are we looking only to the Good Shepherd? Not the ways of the world. Not the ways of politics. Not the ways of government. Are we looking only to the Good Shepherd? To reform and rebuild the church. Guys, we got enough room here for a lot more people. Amen. By the way, in case you didn't know this, I'm going to tell them, Jerry. I'm going to tell them straight up. Choir loft's getting full. I counted this morning, there were 5 people missing from the choir loft that normally sit in the choir loft. Kind of looked full up here, didn't it? Amen. It was wonderful, wasn't it? We're running out of room for the choir. Next week, the choir is sitting out here. And if you're not part of the choir, you're sitting up here. So you have a choice. Do you want to be part of the choir? Or do you want to sit up here? Because we're running out of room. What do we do now? They notified me before I came back at the beginning of this month. Pastor, you don't have a seat in the choir anymore. There's no room left for you. It was tough, though, wasn't it? That was tough. What if we had a community like that? The whole church like that? What if it was growing and expanding such that we could fill the whole balcony full? You know what? There's enough people in this town right now that don't go to church that we could do that. Will we follow the Good Shepherd as the Good Shepherd's reaching out to find the lost sheep and bring them into the community? The latest, greatest how-to book is not going to do it. But Jesus' way of loving people will. We don't need a new book. We got it already. Are you being fed by it? Are you growing by reading it? And are you letting the Good Shepherd mold you and make you into who God wants you to be? Not who you want to be, who God wants you to be. Yes, I know that's a scary thing. But I'll tell you on the other side of the coin, if you don't let God mold you and make you into who God wants you to be, you're going to miss out on a lot of blessings. A lot. A lot of blessings. Do you really want to look at God and say, God, I got enough blessings already, don't need any more? God says, I want to mold you into something that will have so many blessings that you can't contain them all. What does David say in Psalm 23? Come on. My cup runneth over. Have you got that many blessings now? God still wants to pour more. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging that you are the good shepherd. We want to acknowledge that sometimes we end up walking the same path that we see in Scripture. Lord, in our day and age, the churches have been scattered and the members of churches have been scattered. And sometimes we concentrate on all that instead of reaching out where you're reaching out, reaching to the sheep that you are finding who are lost. Lord, please mold us, make us, and help us that we might truly be able to say, have thine own will, Lord, not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.